Moncrief on News Talk.
You're probably aware of the Irish-born woman who has lived in the US for most of her life, is married, has children and grandchildren there, but now faces the threat of deportation. And as terrible as that is, there are people all over the world who face this kind of treatment simply because of their passport or their name or both. Asmia Riaz is a reporter for the Irish Independent. She lives in Ireland but has an Indian passport, which has caused her all manner of difficulties. Asmia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
How long have you lived in Ireland for, Asmia?
It's been 4 years now.
Okay. And when you came to live here, were you aware that it would be complicated for you to, say, travel around the rest of the European Union?
Yeah, I assumed it would be because it's always been hard. I didn't assume it would make it any easier because I would still have the same passport.
Yeah, okay. So say, for instance, trying to get into the US, have you been to the US?
No, I've lost any hope of ever going, to be honest.
Yeah, and how many times have you applied for a visa to go there?
I've applied 4 times since I was a kid, when I was a teenager, a couple of years ago, and I've been rejected every single time.
Yeah, and you have family living there?
Yeah, a lot of my family lives in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, and have other members of your family, I mean, outside the US, been able to travel there?
Yes, my parents have gone, my little brother has gone. I've actually gone with them to apply at the same time, but I always get a rejection and they don't really always give you a reason either. So it's just been very confusing for all of us.
Yeah, do they even hint at a reason?
No, there was this one time, maybe the last time I applied, where they told me they didn't say this specifically, but I was the same age as the Boston bomber. So it was purely coincidence and it would be very, to me, they seemed like very silly reasons.
Yeah. That's kind of strange. An Indian passport. I mean, there is you did write a piece about this in the Indo, and I was surprised to see there's a kind of a ranking on passports. And it seems like an Indian passport doesn't do that well in the ranking.
No, we're somewhere in the 80s. Yeah. There are a couple of rankings, but in most of them, India would fall somewhere at the bottom. You'd see war-torn countries. You'd see like Syria and some of those countries at the very bottom. And it just basically, it's a preferential list as to how much work you have to put into just a holiday.
Yeah. Why is that, do you think?
I honestly don't know. I guess there's a certain amount of privilege to be from this part of the world. I just always assumed that India, with its history or maybe the way we migrate, something's thrown people off and it means that we have to go through these extra steps to just go anywhere. I can't really plan a holiday without thinking about a million different things.
Yeah. And so if you want to go to Europe, that's within the Schengen area, what do you have to do to try and get in there?
It's sort of like the lottery because it's a slot system. So you get an application slot and I don't even really know if that exists because I've only seen it once and it takes checking it rigorously almost every other day to know if one's popped up. And then when you finally get one, it might be like 2 or 3 months ahead of time and not in time for when you're actually planning to travel. So they have very few availabilities for you to even go and request a visa.
Yeah. So, and where do you apply for these slots? Is it at the embassies of different European countries?
Yeah, it's usually the embassies. Sometimes some companies, third party companies, take care of it.
Yeah, and I don't really understand that. And so you kind of apply to, say, the German embassy that for a visa to travel in the Schengen area.
Yeah.
And they say don't call us, we'll call you, kind of thing.
Sort of. So, for example, I'm planning to go to Copenhagen next week and I applied for this nearly a month ago and I had to wait close to another month to just find availability, a slot where I could do it. But you already pay for this. You put in all your details and there's always a risk that you might not even get that visa. So you do it. You start looking for these slots way ahead of time. Like I know people who would start looking for slots in January if they're planning a trip in December.
Yeah. And so if you get a visa, how long does it last for or can that vary?
So the longest I've gotten a Schengen visa for is 3 months.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And it can cost up to 90 euro.
Yeah. But I suppose, and I assume it's the same with the UK for you as well.
Yeah. So even to go to Belfast, I would technically need a visa. And these are getting more expensive as well. So I used to pay 70 euro when I first moved here. Now it's doubled. It's close to 140.
Okay. And how is that an onerous process to go to the UK?
I think the UK is easier. It's a third party company that kind of takes care of it, and it's usually straightforward. And it takes it's a little easier to get that done.
Yeah. And then if you you know, go to Germany or wherever, and then you come back into Ireland, then you can't go in the EU queue. You have to go into the non-EU queue. Is there a process when you're re-entering Ireland of questioning and what are you doing here and that kind of stuff? Because I assume you have a visa in your passport anyway for here.
Yeah, I do have a visa in my passport. Yeah. So I would come back and I just need to go through this one added step of showing them my residence permit to just be like, oh yeah, I did leave from here. I live here and I work here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And do you think it should be simplified?
Maybe a little, because I think it's the wait time. It's the crowded lines. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be precaution. It's the fact that you have to go through so many layers of things to even think about traveling. That's what gets in the way, like the bureaucracy, just waiting for embassy staff to like sort of give you the time of day. That gets really, really exhausting. I understand having a process in place, but it's the amount of time and effort it takes. Like, it just kind of takes the fun out of traveling at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Traveling can be devoid of fun at the best of times. But yeah, I see what you're saying if you're in those big, long queues. Yeah. Having lived here, as somebody from India and having lived here for 4 years, have you noticed a change in tone towards Indian people?
Of course, in the last couple of months have not been easy.
Yeah.
There is a huge change in the way we're looked at, I think.
Yeah. And do you think that's aimed at Indian people specifically, or just you're not white, we don't like you?
I think there's a lot of that, of you just look different. But I think brown people in general get a lot of hate, were seen a certain way, you smell, or you're coming here to get our jobs. And there's just generally an attitude towards people from certain South Asian countries in general that we're here to take something.
Yeah. And has that become more routine? Have you experienced this?
Actually, just this last weekend, my friends and I had a firecracker thrown at us while we were in St. Stephen's Green. And we were all brown. Some of us were queer. And I've been seeing my friends hate crimed over and over again in the last couple of months. I actually wrote about it as well, because it's gotten scary. I never thought about Ireland as a place where I'd have to like look over my shoulder as much as I do now.
Yeah. Is there anything about the kinds of people who say these things or make these attacks?
They're usually younger. I guess people who aren't really afraid of any kind of repercussions. I don't really try to understand them, because I'm not sure I want to, because it really confuses me. It's very upsetting. It kind of messes with my worldview in general.
Yeah, but I must say, I genuinely find it. I mean, you know, we know there are racists in Ireland, but why suddenly? Just in the last 2 months, all of a sudden it was, you know, anyone from Southeast Asia became a target for some strange reason. I don't really know why that suddenly happened.
I think it is because a lot of people moved here post-COVID. I moved here post-COVID, and I think Ireland became really attractive to a lot of people from maybe India and Pakistan. And I think there's a lot of visibility. Also, we're doing jobs that are highly visible, like your taxi drivers, your nurses. So it becomes very easy to target people that you're seeing all the time who speak differently from you. And it just makes it easier to discriminate, I think.
Yeah. And if you go out of an evening, do you have to be a wee bit more careful about where you go, or just be kind of situationally aware?
A little bit now. I used to be, even when things were bad, even after the riots and everything, I'm the kind of person who compartmentalizes, and I'm like, I still want to be able to have fun. But I think now, even just because I'm seeing it happen to my friends more often and my parents are concerned, so I would think maybe twice. I think about how I speak. I think about my accent. I'm a little more worried about things that I wouldn't have thought much about a while ago.
Yeah. And have those attacks been reported in India?
Oh yeah, widely. I had so many people check in on me, call me. It felt surreal that, you know, you're making headlines back home for not being safe. yeah. in this country that I thought would be so much safer than India.
Okay, that's nothing to be proud of there. Asmia, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Asmia Riaz, their reporter with the Irish Independent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.